My name is Blake.
This is Jake. Good morning. Quote, I should advise you to put it all down as beautifully as you can, in some beautifully bound book, end quote. Carl Jung instructed, quote, it will seem as if you were making the visions banal. But then you need to do that. Then you are freed from the power of them. Then when these things are in some precious book, you can go to the book and turn over the pages, and for you it will be your church, your cathedral, the silent places of your spirit where you will find renewal. If anyone tells you that it is morbid or neurotic, and you listen to them, then you will lose your soul, for in that book is your soul, end quote. Carl Jung.
Jung does a great job of describing the importance of developing that platform that we've discussed, right? Giving ourselves a space, or as Jake described, an arena of exploration to grapple with and strive to understand what the experience means to us. And that's why it's so important to give ourselves that platform, or as Jung says, the sacred journal.
The sacred journal.
So Jake had made a suggestion that we incorporate a new tradition into the weekly podcast, and it lends itself to the importance of drinking water. So if there's any water in your vicinity, let's go ahead and just take a sip of water to get the show going.
If I could contribute, before we take the sip of water, just to get our minds in tune with the importance of water intake, I'm just going to read just one of the benefits that comes from drinking water. So water promotes cardiovascular health. Dehydration lowers your blood volume, so your heart must work harder to pump the reduced amount of blood and get enough oxygen to your cells, which makes everyday activities like walking upstairs as well as exercise far more difficult. So on that note, let's take some water.
Thank the universe for this water. So that quote, it said dehydration lowers
your blood volume. So basically, it basically constrains your heart, makes it have to work much harder, you know, to get to get the blood to where it needs to go to oxygenate your body.
Mm. It reminds me of a quote from one of the songs that we're working on called Dream State, and just the idea of hydration, right? Because not only can the body become dehydrated, but the soul or the mind can become dehydrated too, right? And they say that if you're thirsty, you're actually already dehydrated, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we're craving this spiritual nourishment, or we're craving, you know, mental nourishment the same way that we might crave in a moment of thirst, it means we're actually spiritually dehydrated. So we say, the soul thirsty, it needs water. Drink truth, clean water.
Mm.
Alkaline, real water. Vivid visions, dream water. So it's really important, and that's an element of nourish the foundation, right? Just making sure that you know, we're feeding the spirit the same way that we feed the body.
Absolutely. That is very crucial. You know, we discussed that last week of just, you know, our the importance of the very foundational things, and you bringing attention to spirit, you know, that was the first thing we discussed, and then oxygen and water are the next closest things according to our biology. So with that being said, I would like to also just do 10 deep breaths. Mm. We'll just keep it simple. We won't take too much time, but this is just to get people in tune with the importance of deep breathing, because a lot of times we forget to breathe. Mm. And our bodies need the breath. I mean, that is our connection to infinite intelligence. Mm. So I wanted to read this thing real quick, if I could. So the real reason deep breathing cleans your body. Enter your lymphatic system. It's the system of vessels that run parallel to your blood vessels, only it carries lymph instead of blood. Lymph is a yellow, goopy fluid that's full of white blood cells, your immune cells that fight infections and bad stuff. Your circulatory system, heart and blood vessels, have a pump, your heart. But your lymphatic system has no pump. There is nothing that moves that thick, goopy stuff. Why do you want your lymph to move? Your lymph is kind of like a sewer system. Immune cells travel to all your tissues and literally pick up waste, toxins, from your cells and take the waste out. You want toxins and waste to leave your body. That's what detoxification is. That's a good thing. But if lymph moves slow, toxins sit around much longer and damage your cells. That's what causes disease, illness, fatigue, aches, pains, and all things bad. So now you want your lymph system to move, don't you? Deep breathing it is. It's the switch that triggers your lymph to flow. So on that note, let's just do 10 deep breaths together on the count of three. Deep breath in and just, you know, comfortably exhale out and try to take the air and imagine the air flowing to all the areas of your body where maybe need healing, or, you know, just to keep the body in full function and get that lymph moving. So on the count of three, one, two, three. I think that was 10. Mm. I feel good.
Me too. So I have a couple questions here that might be able to spark some discussion and just some, you know, reignite the imagination as we continue to reflect upon our current state and where we've been and where we're headed. So we've just entered this second quarter. It's April 3rd, 2018 today for us in this moment. How can we maintain and manage the commitments that we've made to ourselves in this new quarter? The goals, whether they're personal goals or professional goals, how can we set benchmarks and continue to just make sure that we're working towards accomplishing that which we know will help us to feel fulfilled?
That's a great question. Well, I think the first step is establishing what we would like to do, what we would like to accomplish, that I believe what we would like to accomplish, but also, you know, kind of going into our imagination and kind of trying to feel intuitively what that is that would really allow us to make great progress. But then looking at that thing and then looking at the scalability of it, which is the ability to in my mind's eye, it's the ability to do something consistently or ritualistically, like we talk about, but also something that can be maintained over a long duration, so, and elaborated on and evolved over a long duration. So if we are doing new things, one of our mentors, Jordan Peterson, that we listen to quite often, he always talks about baby steps, baby weights, you know, like think of your body, like think about as though you're working out and you have never worked out before and you'd like to put a little bit of muscle on or do some resistance training, something like that. And so, you know, to do that in a healthy, progressive way, you need to start with small weights, you know, and I think that doing something, doing maybe less than what our ambition pulls us to do at first to get us introduced to something and to build the habit, because I think that the habit and the consistency is far more important than necessarily the volume or the amount of work we get done. And by that I mean, let's use the example of us as songwriters. If we wrote music every single day for 20 minutes versus once a week for several hours, I think we stay closer to our craft. We have a more intimate relationship with our craft, right? Mm. And, you know, there is space between where we are fulfilling other obligations in life and things like that, but having that consistency where you can be with that thing on a daily basis and really get to know it. Like, it's, you know, you use that analogy a lot of like communicating with, looking at, almost imagining that things are, that concepts are like another human being or whatnot. And I think you could use that in a relationship kind of analogy of like, we are building a relationship with this craft or this task. And so what I think to do that is I think it's important to look at the process and look at it very objectively and say, okay, what does this take to get done from very start to very finish and maintain the details? We put an emphasis on details quite often. Don't leave out any of the details of the process, even the smallest things that you may feel are insignificant. Include those, and maybe you have something to contribute on the importance of writing this process down versus just thinking it. I mean, we must think about it first, but writing it down, I think once we have it somewhat worked out in our mind, you know, that's the next step of bringing it into reality. So writing something down physically with a pen and paper, you have then something concrete and physical as a result of your thought. And you've actually, that I think is the first step, perhaps. Maybe the most important step, because then you have a parameter by which to schedule this into your day on a consistent basis, and then you know what you're getting into prior because you're getting to know it. It's kind of like, you know, when you go on a first date with someone and you're getting to know them, you know, the first couple times, you're feeling it out. I think maybe that writing process, and you write probably more than anyone I know, so maybe you could contribute something to the importance of writing things down.
Absolutely. I appreciate the alley-oop here. I'd like to share the idea that a friend of mine shared with me last night over dinner. His name's Adam, and he's been looking into a lot of the biblical stories recently, and he shared the fact that there's a quote in the Bible that I'd actually like to read real quick. That comes from, I believe, John. it speaks to the nature of in the beginning there was word, there was the word. And let's see if I can locate it here. Thank you for your patience. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So this idea of the Word is actually translated to the Logos. And this pervading force of like truth in the universe, right? So when we take the initiative to actually put pen to paper and wrestle with these ideas, what we're actually doing is we're bringing forth the Logos and the truth of the universe and manifesting it into a tangible form so that we can visibly see it, right? Because the nature of this force being invisible is actually the pinnacle principle, right? Like we say, this metaphysical force like pervades the universe. And that's part of what's so alluring and mystical about it is that we can't actually see it, right? It's the same in nature as the wind. We may be walking on a beautiful day and the wind is blowing and we can't necessarily see the wind, but we can feel the wind, right? And that's what's so powerful about taking these ideas and actually utilizing the faculty of objective action to just write down the thought. Because when we write down a thought, we're not only bringing it forth into the tangible space, but we're providing ourselves with the opportunity to engage with that language, right? And that's something that we talked about last week in terms of developing a platform for ourselves. And it leads me to the next question of what does it actually mean to engage with language or engage with an idea, right, or content? And Jake spoke about the fact that sometimes we not even sometimes, you know, we're breaking into the habit of treating these ideas as if they are people. And treating truth as if it is an individual, right? And the benefit in embracing that philosophy from our perspective is that we're now personifying this principle so that we can have a conversation with it. We can sit down with it and speak face to face and not only speak with, you know, or speak not only speak to the idea, but speak with the idea, with the intention and expectation of receiving, you know, information and essentially engaging in a conversation. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the benefit of really writing our thoughts down and using the platform of pen to paper as a way to help maintain and manage the commitments that we've made to ourselves. So I think that's a great point that you made.
Yeah, and to a thought just came to me about when we have a goal, right? A goal is a process, and a process has many steps, like we just had established. So, where I think the benefit of writing things down, one of the many benefits, is that oftentimes when we have a ambition that we would like to conquer, there are so many things, and to me it's almost like metaphorically, if you can imagine in your mind that each part of the process is a puzzle piece in a big pile. You know, you get the puzzle, you take the puzzle out, and you dump the puzzle pieces on the table. And they're somewhat flipped over, there's no sense of order. They're all there, the whole picture is there within each little segment is a piece to the puzzle. So if you've ever done a puzzle, which I recommend doing if you've never done one, because it's very meditative and it's good for the mind, just a good challenge for the mind and putting things together. But every piece that you put into its proper place, you have more of a sense of the vision, right? And oftentimes, with so many ideas in the mind, we have an idea, but we may avoid it because it just seems so overwhelming. Now, every time we write a step of the process down, we know that we've got it. It's concrete somewhere. And then now we're able to focus more amply on the rest of the process, right? The next step in finding that next piece where it goes. And just through, you know, arithmetic, with each puzzle piece that is placed into the puzzle, the mathematics and the probability of you finding the next proper piece increases exponentially with each one. And so the puzzle becomes more and more clear, and also we complete the puzzle exponentially faster with each one. It compounds, if you will, by, like, it could be scales of magnitude. Don't quote me on that aspect, but I'm not a mathematician. I was never amazing at math.
So you're equating the process of writing down a step of the process or a goal to the idea of placing one of the pieces of the puzzle where it's meant to be.
Right, and then the compounding multiplicity, right? That force you're compounding the momentum, right? Like, you're increasing the momentum with each and every piece we put down. So, and just to
bring that point home, the idea of writing your goals down is such an important aspect of life, particularly in our philosophy and our belief. And we encourage you to just experiment with that idea, you know, as your own personal scientist, to see how that works for you. And there's a couple statistics that I'd like to share. I'll be sharing next week about the importance of writing goals down. There's been some really cool studies about the nature of becoming familiar with your goals and furthermore your strengths, which is something we'll talk about on next week's episode as well. I suppose the benefit, just to provide a little introduction to the idea, the benefit of becoming familiar with one's strengths is actually developing an understanding of identity as a core foundational element in discovering your place in the world, right? Because we're on this journey to essentially find what it is that we're meant to do and how it is that we can give our gift to the world. Right, and there's a very, very special parable that was shared with me this past week about, it's called the parable of the talents. And essentially there's these three men, one of which is given five talents, the second of which is given three talents, and the third of which is given one talent based upon their corresponding ability to utilize the talents. And they're given the talents by the master, or essentially a father figure of sorts. And the first man, who was given five talents, goes out into the marketplace and he utilizes his talents to trade and essentially honor his gift, right? He's giving his gift to the world. And as a result, his talents are returned to him tenfold. He now has 50 talents. The second man, who has three talents, does the same. He goes out into the marketplace and honors these three gifts that he's been given. They return to him tenfold. The third man, who was only given one talent, was afraid that if he was to give it away to the world, right, he might not have any more talent. So what he does is he actually buries his talent deep in the ground. He doesn't share it with the world in hopes of protecting the talent, right, so that it will be there for him. But in essence, the lesson of that story is we're meant to share these gifts with the world. Right, the idea and principle of abundance and the fact that through giving we also receive, it's a part of the balance of the universe, is so foundational And it correlates to the idea of understanding your strengths, because when you tune into understanding your strengths, you then have some sort of a compass and an understanding of what it is that you have to give to the world, and then you can continue giving it.
Very cool.
So we'll dive deeper into that, and there's a tool called the Strengths Finder assessment that both Jake and I are going to be taking, so we'll be able to talk about our strengths and provide some tips on how you guys might be able to discover yours as well. That's the Gallup's Strengths Finder test.
I like that.
And there was one more idea that you had mentioned about essentially the process and the habit being a very important element, almost more important than just diving into and immersing ourselves into the world.
Mm-hmm.
Or into the goal that we're attempting to commit to. And Kyle Pinkslip, a friend of ours, a producer that we work with, he shared this idea with me. He said that his brother, while he was growing up, used to always tell him, yo, slow down with the basketball, right? Because he played basketball. Kyle played basketball as a kid. And he was always going 100%. And it really burnt him out quick, right? So the following game, after his brother had told him to kind of slow down, go 80%, and then the remaining 20% can be made up for in technique and skill and, you know, maneuverability and things like that. And he said the benefit of just taking a step back and toning it down a little bit and really tuning into, you know, that rhythm, it was almost in essence like slowing of time. You know, time slowed down in that moment, like where we you know, we tuned in, we almost engaged, right? I imagine he's engaging with the basketball and the sport in a more intimate way, similar to how you were discussing language, if you want to share your idea about Benjamin Benchmark and any other thoughts that you have on that.
I think that I was just thinking of the benefits and the pros and cons, if you will, of typing versus writing something by hand. And in school, we are often taught to type and to type faster and faster and faster so we can be more and more efficient. And that does have its benefits as far as freeing us, in a sense, giving us more time by getting more down in a short period of time. So then we have more free time, or we can get more work done more efficiently, et cetera, et cetera. So that's a pro of typing. But when we handwrite, it's never as fast. I would pose the speculation that no one writes as fast as they type. You know, hand writes as fast as they type. So it's the same thing as the basketball. Maybe the pen is analogous to the basketball in this case, where when we write something, we're forced to spend more time with the word, and rather than just, you know, you're typing something super, super fast, you're not consciously engaging with the word. And so I think that when we handwrite, particularly when we're creating or we're sorting something out, handwriting may, in fact, be a more efficient way to sort things out. Maybe not for everyone, but in our experience, I would say so, because you have to stop and slow down for a second to write the word. Particularly if you have a desire to write clearer and write well when you're writing. So that way, again, it's more intimacy with the word. And even on a subconscious level, I believe that the word is being absorbed at a greater capacity. And words are our paint or our medium to creation. If you look at your journal as though it's a piece of art, instead of just writing something down. Mm-hmm. You're actually creating something. We like to use these just for to make it fun and to make it also functional to distinguish different ideas and things like that. We like to use the Papermate flare pens. This is a plug for you guys. These are amazing pens. And they write nice and smooth, very clear and concise, and they react in the way that you would hope they would, at least in my experience.
Truly. And I'd go as far as even saying, you know, when the opportunity presents itself, I'll be committing to actually only using these pens until a nicer one comes along. You know, because we want to, in every aspect of life, create as fluid of an experience as possible, right? Like, the more we can eliminate the any additional steps that are involved in the process of experiencing or harvesting the full value of any particular experience, you know, the better. And I think Jake can speak a little bit more about that idea. It's still something that I'm working to understand, but essentially you've spoken about eliminating certain elements of a process in an effort to become more effective.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just explain a little bit more about that so I can kind of wrap my head around it?
I think we can go back to the mantra of familiarizing ourselves with the process. I think, too, when we write things down, we realize we have something concrete that we can come back to and read and observe, and we can understand what is useful and what is not useful. It's always about kind of looking at each step. We may have an understanding of a process that is not the most conducive for us to achieving that goal, right? Preconceived. When we write it out, now we have the ability to find out, okay, this part of the process is very useful. This part could be rolled in with this other section here. And we could do those things together, and we could, you know, I don't want to say kill two birds with one stone. We could
set two doves free to fly in sunset.
Yeah, we don't want to kill birds for no reason.
Dead bird.
So yeah, I think that looking at what's useful versus what's not useful, the writing aspect really allows us to get in touch with that. And so that way we can create the best starting point we possibly can. And sometimes, you know, every so often, maybe we nailed it on the process, but the process always evolves, you know. Mm-hmm. Everything we seek, at least for Blake and I think I can safely speak for the both of us on this behalf, is we are always trying to improve and become better versions of ourselves. Not necessarily trying to change or trying to evolve, you know, and build on what's there and make it better. And I think efficiency is key because it gives us more time to experience life. You know, if we can do something in a shorter amount of moments or a lesser amount of moments in space, then we have more moments for experiential bliss, essentially. And, you know, or... And not necessarily always bliss, but that's the goal, you know?
Right.
That's what we work towards.
Mm.
So, does that help with understanding that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the idea of repetition and becoming familiar with the process is a big part of what I'm beginning to understand. You know, and just to put this into context, you know, this could be a process for anything. You know, like maybe in your life, whether you're a songwriter or, you know, some sort of a creative individual, maybe you're, you know, a personal trainer or, you know, a biologist or, you know, maybe you're in med school, whatever that process is for you, taking a look at the activities that you participate in on a regular basis and finding some way to standardize those activities so that you're doing the same types of things at the same time every week while still leaving room for maneuverability and fluidity in your schedule. And the benefit that we've experienced through developing those types of consistent rituals, whether they're weekly rituals, monthly rituals, quarterly rituals, etc., is that at each returning point of the cycle where we revisit that activity on a weekly, monthly, whatever the ritual, the frequency of the ritual might be, at each returning point of that cycle, we become a little bit more familiar with the process. And we're able to refine the process through the experience of actually participating and executing the process. So it's a lot more manageable when you're actually putting your process into action as opposed to solely thinking about it and writing it down, right? These two aspects are meant to be integrated into the approach of understanding, you know, how it is that we can optimize our growth and our journey of accomplishing the goals through that process.
Yes, that is a very important point to make. And I think establishing the starting point, I know that another thing Jordan Peterson speaks of is looking at each part of that process and asking ourselves, are we willing to do it? It's a very simple concept. Am I willing to do this? And when you have it broken down very specifically, you can say, well, yeah, I'm willing to do that. And then if you go through and you're having this conversation with this idea and you're asking it all these questions, am I willing to do this? Am I willing to do this step? If there's any degree of hesitation, right? Well, I'm not sure. That's where you're hung up on not taking action, or that's the roadblock in the mind, if you will, right? We want to do this thing. We've said this tons of times to ourselves and promised ourselves we'd do something, but we seem to keep defaulting. That's what writing down will help us to distinguish. We can look at the process, compartmentalize it, or basically fractionize, like it, and compartmentalize it, and then we can ask and we can create a question for each one of those aspects. And wherever we find ourselves not sure, then we find a point. Basically, he alludes to finding a median between you of what it is that you need to do, or where the hang-up is, and where the last thing is that was a definite yes. And so you find a compromise between the two points somewhere between. You're not going to commit to that thing. Okay, that's where you're hung up. So now you need to micro break that thing down, right? So let's say a good example would be, you know, you establish all these steps, and then you need to do something. The next step where you're hung up on is like, I need to do XYZ for 2 hours, right? So am I willing to do XYZ for 2 hours? Maybe. I don't know. I probably wouldn't. Okay. You're being honest with yourself. You're being vulnerable with yourself. You're being vulnerable with this idea. And then you say, okay, would I be willing to do XYZ step for 20 minutes? Yes, I could do 20 minutes. Okay, there you have it. Now you have a compromise, and now you're working towards surmounting that step in the process that is affecting the entire process from being manifest or coming into reality. So I think that's a pretty cool idea, pretty cool model.
Yeah,
way to think about it.
That is a cool model. And just to put into perspective, like an example of that, this past week, I acknowledged the fact that I'd been procrastinating a research paper that I'm doing on a 19th century and 20th century songwriter named Irving Berlin. Right, for a pop music class I'm taking, I meant to write this research paper, and I just haven't started it yet. For no particular reason, I just haven't gotten around to it. So I asked myself the question, okay, am I willing to at least go to the library this week? I said, yes. Next question, am I willing to at least open up an encyclopedia and search for the name Irving Berlin so that I can take a look at, you know, what sources are available? You know, what references does the encyclopedia use? Yeah, I'd be willing to do that. Okay, am I willing to write down the names of the books that the encyclopedia references so that I can potentially take a look at those books myself? Yeah, I'm willing to do that. Okay, am I willing to at least read for 30 minutes and skim some of these books after I find them so that I can try to narrow down my topic and pick a specific part of Irving Berlin's life to actually write about? Yeah, I'd be willing to do that. Am I willing to pick my topic? Yes, I'm willing to do that. Am I willing to write the opening paragraph? I don't know if I'm really willing to do that this week. Right? I said, like, maybe. And you got to be honest with yourself in this process. Like,
yes, and no one's going to judge you because it's you and the idea. And the only thing that will be affected through this process is you and your experience. So not being honest with yourself does us absolutely no benefit. You know, it may, the only thing it may do is it may make us feel better about the situation very temperamentally, but it's certainly not going to get us closer to where we need to be. And to emphasize on that point, when you do find the compromise, right, when you find where the hang-up is, Jordan Peterson says that it is extremely important to commit to only doing the compromise. Don't do the compromise and then go beyond that, because now you're creating this, you're losing integrity with yourself, essentially. You said you were going to do only one thing to move you forward, and now you find yourself, you did it way more. And then when you reflect on that effort to overcome that hang up, now you have this, it's almost like you were dishonest with yourself. Then that can scare us away.
Right.
And it can turn us away.
And it's really interesting to think about that, because sometimes people are familiar with the phrase, right, going above and beyond. Right? And there's almost like a commendable aspect of that, you know, mantra, going above and beyond, going the extra mile, right? And there might be certain aspects of life where, you know, we're meant to invest extra effort and just to, you know, exemplify and display our commitment. But in that particular situation, when we make a commitment to ourselves, when we keep that commitment and we fulfill that commitment, we are essentially programming ourselves to be able to trust. We want to be able to trust the mind, right? And be able to rely on the fact that there is a degree of integrity and harmony within what we say we're going to do and what we actually do, right? So when we walk that tightrope and we find the balance of essentially, you know, fulfilling the commitments that we've made to ourselves, we're progressively and exponentially building a greater degree of faith and trust in ourselves. And that's a great source of motivation and inspiration in life, is if we can continue to fulfill the small wins, right, and achieve the small wins and be consistent with breaking through and you know, just developing that sense of character through accomplishing the things that we set out to accomplish, no more, no less, right? That's when we really begin to develop that self-esteem and a deeper faith in our ability to execute.
Yes, I totally agree with that.
And it seems just to contribute one more thing, that this mantra, right, of maintaining and managing our commitments, right, fulfilling our commitments, is staying consistent within this episode. And I'd like to contribute one more idea to how you might be able to maintain and manage, you know, commitments or accomplish goals that you've set out. So oftentimes at the top of the year, right, there's this idea of New Year's resolutions, and essentially that's a different way of describing the idea of creating goals for ourselves, right? And I think what we really need to do is make them accessible, right? Like, we have to be able to see our goals and carry our goals with us. And that's one of the main reasons why it's so important to write them down. And at the beginning of Jake and I's weekly strategy meeting, on our agenda, we have our past week goals and our current week goals, so that those goals are actually in front of us. So if you're on a journey right now, struggling to find a way to maintain those commitments and accomplish your goals, we encourage you to actually write them down, but furthermore, keep them with you in a place that's accessible. And that's part of the benefit in the idea of the sacred journal that Carl Jung speaks about.
Yes, I totally agree with that. And I think that to contribute to that idea of you know, it's kind of like review and revise, if you will, right? So there are things that there's a particular task on here that, you know, for a few weeks I was like, I need to complete this whole entire thing. But then getting into the process, I realized that it's far more of a complex thing, and it's far more of a nuanced task and idea than I anticipated. So I had to readjust, right? I'm still on the mission to complete this thing, but I had to readjust what I'm committing to. Because telling myself I'm going to finish something and not looking at it realistically, and this is where I fell short over the last few weeks. Now I took that thing and I broke it down, and I set myself a goal, which was, okay, I can do this. I can do this. It's still going to be a challenge, but I can do this, and it's going to make significant progress. So the ability, like you had quoted earlier, which is having the maneuverability, the ability to, you know, acclimate and adjust while still staying on the mission, you know, is key. And again, writing things down allows us to adjust that and be in tune with it, and ultimately to be more successful, more efficient with what we're doing.
Truly. Would you mind just giving this specific type of, like, giving some context to that idea of a task and going at attempting to accomplish the whole thing? Like, what, just briefly kind of introducing the context so that the listeners might be able to understand, like, how, like, what kind of task, or just to provide context. You're speaking of the timeline, right?
Mm-hmm. So we're creating a timeline for a specific idea that we are working on, and it involves words and images as kind of source material to allow the idea to come into fruition creatively. And each event on the timeline essentially is a panel. And so this timeline will end up being, you know, several panels. I'm not sure. It'll be pages and pages, like a book, you know. And so I had the ambition of finishing this whole thing, but now I've reduced it to 10 panels, right, for the week, where I can really put a lot of intentionality into 10 panels and make significant progress toward it. And if I'm able to maintain a pace of 10 over the course of a consistent time, and I just feel like, man, I'm ready to do 12, then I can gradually do that. But I think showing ourselves, it's kind of like proving to yourself that you can do something consistently, and then you have a foundation, and you have a confidence building in your ability. And just like you said, the thing becomes more efficient, more refined with time and with repetition. as we do this ritualistically. So maybe we're like, okay, I still have the same amount of time to allocate toward this, but I know that because I've been doing this for the last X amount of weeks, I'm going to be able to do more because I understand the program I'm using. I've just been in the space more frequently, so I feel more comfortable here in my brain, and everything fires far more efficiently because of the ritualistic and repetition. So now I can do more. I can set a higher goal, and I can be confident that just pushing it a little bit more, that I'm still going to be able to maintain that consistency, that consistent progress. So that's basically kind of what we were alluding to there. So
Perfect. Thank you. I think the context really helps. And furthermore, just to once again piggyback off of the idea of context, right? Oftentimes the details are really what matter most. And we're all about the details, right? And we just want to take a moment to encourage you to really respect the details of your journey and understand that the details matter. You know, the details of your story, the details of your life and your process, your creative journey. And those are aspects of who you are that you're meant to share with the world. Even the slightest nuances, you know, maybe you remember an experience from your childhood that may have shaped you into who you are. And it's something that you consistently think about, you know, on maybe a month-to-month or yearly basis. You know, it's a part of your paradigm and it's a detail, right, about your character. And we just want to encourage you to share those things with the world because the details matter, the context matters.
So, yeah, I think to conclude, this just came to my mind. So if you are out there and you're listening to this and you would like to start writing things down, let's look at the process of what that will take to get, you know, perhaps you to start writing things down and having a journal. So let's look at it in a very detailed way. What do we need for you to start journaling? What's the very first step? Well, are you interested in journaling? If the answer is yes, are you willing to look into notepads and pens and where you can buy your own notepad and pen? If the answer is yes, then get out there and buy your pen and paper and make that your first step. If the answer is no, are you at least looking into going online and maybe looking at the different, you know, places you can get the Papermate pen or whatever pen that feels right for you? And, you know, a notepad that you might like to have that you might really take pride in and cherish, and just actually figuring out what that is. If the answer is yes, then pick out your notepad and make that the first step and get in tune with how much that's going to cost you, if you need to set a little money aside or whatnot, to get a nice book that you'd feel proud of that you'd like to take with you, and then go from there.
And just to encourage, you know, and emphasize Jake's point, this is not meant to feel like a burden, right? It's certainly an extra element of work, and maybe it's a new idea and new practice for you. So there's going to be a little bit of resistance and extra effort required on your part to help build that new habit, right? But this is essentially a window through which you can achieve greater sense of order and confidence in your life, right? So make sure you ask yourself, you know, do I want to feel happy and in control and fully aware of my life, right? And if the answer is yes to that question, then we certainly encourage you to explore your options. And one of the options, you know, is going through the process of procuring, you know, a pocket-sized notebook or whatever notebook you feel is appropriate for you and your journey, and finding the right, you know, the right utensils as Jake described. So it's a life changer. You know, it's definitely been an amazing way for Jake and I to essentially explore our ideas, similar to the way that we're exploring our ideas on this podcast. And we're hoping that, you know, we can help, you know, each other strive to essentially just understand more about the human experience, finding common elements within our experience, so that we can continue to grow stronger and continue to grow younger by the minute.
Absolutely. So if you do got your pen and your paper, are you willing to write for 5 minutes? If the answer is yes, I would encourage you to take the time to write for 5 minutes today. If you have the pen and paper, but you're not willing to write for 5 minutes, are you willing to give your notebook a title and set the intention for your notebook? And just do that today. Like, take your notebook and give it a title that means something to you, that gives it value to you, and makes it something of purpose. So yeah, get out there and or sit down or wherever the spirit moves you, and take some pen and paper and write.
And if you feel comfortable just diving in a stream of conscious format, go ahead and do that. If you'd like some sort of a prompt, you're more than welcome to use some of the questions that Jake and I entertained today. We'll include those questions within the description information of the podcast. Just to reiterate those one more time, how can I maintain and manage the commitments that I've made to myself? What do I need to do to set myself up for success in this new quarter? What doors are currently open that I'm meant to walk through? What does it mean to engage with language or content or ideas? How can I strengthen my communication skills? Furthermore, what questions am I seeking answers to this week? Thank you guys for tuning in. Jake, do you have any final thoughts?
Well, that should be it. Get out there and do some writing.
We never get older, only wiser. It's Blake and Jake signing off.